recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight is from Father Mike Walker. He is the pastor at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Beaverton.
So imagine what it would be like for you if you did not have any knowledge of salvation, any possibility of heaven, and you were living this life knowing that there was something greater, but it was unattainable, that you just couldn't have it. And then all of a sudden you start hearing all these promises that God was going to have a solution, that he was going to make it so that you had reason for hope. This is what the prophets did. Hundreds of years before Jesus, they were talking about the hope that we have, that God will restore his creation and his people. He will bring them back, give them life, and give them everlasting life. And this hope and this desire was something that was spoken about for hundreds of years. And then when Jesus comes on the scene, he basically tells the people that this hope has been realized in me. And so this is something that maybe we take for granted because we just think that it's something so obvious, but it was not something that was obvious in the ancient world. And it wasn't obvious at all before the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, during the gospel, we have this event that happens where there are these Greeks, and the Greeks are the outsiders, they're not the Jews. And the Greeks heard about Jesus, and they were intrigued. They wanted to know more, and they knew that he was not just an ordinary man, that there was something about him that spoke to their desires in their hearts, something that gave them a sense of fulfillment in what they truly sought and desired. And so they came first to Philip. It seems that Philip must have spoke Greek pretty well, and so they came to him, and then Philip talked to Andrew, and they brought them to Jesus. And Jesus gave them an analogy, and the analogy was that just like a seed needs to be planted so that it can have new life, it needs to be buried or to die so that it can from that grow and have this new life, so must the Son of Man, or so must he. And so this analogy was to try to help the Greeks to understand that what they desired and what they hoped for was also Jesus, his death and resurrection. And they were being included in God's plan for salvation. So salvation is not just for the Jews. Life in Christ is not just for the Jews, but it will be for all people. And this is being demonstrated by this simple example that he gives. Now, again, I think we understand that, but it's not something that everyone understands. I remember several times in my life that I would be talking to someone and they would have no understanding of what Jesus brings them or what faith brings them, or even that they have the ability to even pray to God and that God can hear them. You know, so the something that we hear and we understand and take for granted is not something that everyone else knows. So to a certain degree, we have to understand that in our own hearts and minds, that Jesus is for us, that he's not for those perfect people, but he's for us, sinners. He's for us, people who are wounded, people who have our particular issues, people who have our particular ignorance and have our wounds, that we have a God who is here for all of us. But not just us, of course, but for all people. And we can be a little bit more like Philip and Andrew and be his ambassadors, to be his intercessors, to pray for them and to help them come to an understanding of who God is for them in their life. And again, I've seen this several times when people have stepped out in faith and helped people who had that desire in their hearts, like these Greeks did, to come to have an encounter with Christ, to come to know him and to understand him and have the life that God wants them to have as well. This is all, of course, brought about through the understanding of the cross. I remember in very early on when I was in Mexico for the first time that there was a certain way that they would express their devotion for the passion of Jesus where it was much more realistic than what I was used to. So, for example, they would have Jesus carrying a cross, and this Jesus would be a lifelike statue, and it would have real hair, and it would have blood, and it would have all the wounds, and it was just something that on the first time I saw it, it just seemed a little gruesome. But then it kind of grew on me, And it grew on me because I tend to be a bit of a realist when it comes to history, and I want not to have a sanitized version of things. And I think what we often get is kind of like the tender moments Jesus, you know, where it's all, everything's just kind of sanitized, and it's, we don't understand it for what it truly is. And we think, oh, I don't want to think about that cross thing. I don't want to think about the crucifixion. I just want to think about the happy Jesus and the post-resurrection. And I'm just going to look at Easter, but not look at Good Friday, and maybe separate the importance of what Good Friday brings to Easter. And in the Gospel of John, it gets divided up actually into two different books among different biblical scholars. And they'll say that the first 12 chapters are what they call the book of signs. And so this is Jesus and his ministry, the signs that he is the Messiah. But the second half, from beyond chapter 12, it's what they call the book of glory. And the book of glory is centered in the cross. And it's centered in the cross not because it's a gruesome thing or something that we look at and we think, wow, look what Jesus suffered. I'm so terrible. I'm such a sinner. I don't deserve anything, and I'm shaming myself. It's not that. It's something totally different than that. It's the opposite of that, because what the glory of the cross is a demonstration of Jesus' love for us. It's a demonstration of his glory and his sacrifice, and it's a demonstration of how God chose to come to us for the sake of our salvation and offer his everything. And so it's something that doesn't cause us to say, I'm so terrible, I'm going to shame myself and then separate myself from God. But it's the opposite of that. It's where we appreciate that manifestation and that demonstration of God's love for us, so that we're invited into his glory and into his very life because of the sacrifice that he offers us. And this is sometimes something very difficult for us to understand. I know that even in this last week, I've had conversations with people who were depressed, but not only were they depressed, it seemed like they were having a hard time understanding that they were a real child of God. And after talking to them, I said, yes, but you're a child of God. He created you for a particular purpose and reason. His love for you in that creation is something he's never going to take away. But you have to claim it. You have to see it and appreciate it. And it's something you have to take to yourself and to understand so that you can live as God created you to live. And that is that idea of that life that he gives us, and that freedom and the ability to see salvation not just as something that is someday when we die, but it's something that we have a share in even now. To give an example of this, the sacrament of baptism, we go into water, and if we stay underwater, then we will die. But the whole point of baptism is that we enter into the death of Christ, and then we rise from it, because we follow him in his death and resurrection. Just as he went into the waters of the Jordan River and came out, that we follow him in our dying to self, and so that we can die with Christ and rise with him to that newness of life that we have a share in when it comes to our baptism. And also during this last week, I was with a group of friends and we went through Portland, and I think one of my friends kind of took a wrong turn, and we ended up in one of the worst areas of Portland. And you could see the people who were, they were more obviously high on fentanyl, and they were so bad off that they couldn't even stand up. And the thought that crossed my mind was not only the injustice of all of this and the reason why it's happening and the lack of response that we have in a very practical way, but I also thought about it in a different way, that's not how they were created. That's not what they were created for. And really what I can obviously see in that situation is also something I can see in myself at times. You know, I was created for something that was much greater. I was created for the Creator, and that only if I respond to him and live that newness of life that he offers is anything possible. And without him, then I will again be living for something that is the very least secondary of what his hopes and dreams and his desires for me are. And so next week, we're going to be entering into Holy Week. It'll begin with Palm Sunday. It'll continue through through Good Friday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, this is a time for us to try to understand and appreciate the great gift that God gives us through that sacrifice. Hopefully we can see it not as something that's morbid, that's something that's difficult, that we'd rather avoid, but we see it as an invitation, just as the Greeks did, just as the Jews eventually did, just as we, the Christians, do, but kind of see it as an invitation to the newness of life that God gives us through his demonstration and manifestation of his love and his care for us, that we can be lifted up with Christ, and ultimately, if we die with him, we will also rise with him to have that new life here on earth and have it eternally with him in heaven.
And that is today's homily highlight by Father Mike Walker, pastor at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Beaverton. If you want to listen to that homily again or any of our great locally produced shows, head over to Mater Dei Radio. You can find it there on our webpage or on our app, the Hail Mary Media app.
You know what else we got on that app?
What's that?
We have got the Made for Heaven series with Father Augustino Torres. What an incredible video just went up this past week. It is, you know, if you're kind of struggling with Lent a little bit, I highly suggest you go and check out that Made for Heaven series. It will renew you. It is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Father Augustino does such a great job. And of course, that's right there on the Hail Mary Media app.